in Ephesians chapter 4, the end of that chapter, and the first part of chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. Please give careful attention now to the reading of God's very word. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, we come now as your little children, rejoicing. It thrills us to hear the word of your mouth. And Lord Jesus, we beg that you would come by your blessed Holy Spirit, and you, O God, who gave this very word through the Apostle Paul. Lord, we beg that you would come now, the author of Holy Scripture, and that you who have kept your word down through the ages, you would take this, the very word of your mouth that we have read, and you would speak it to our hearts. That this word, Lord, would be pressed upon us, that you would show us more of the glory of your Son, to grant us repentance and faith in Jesus. Lord, grow us up as your little children, we who know you, to experience more and more putting off the remnants of the old man and experiencing the resurrection power of you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, if there be any who are listening, Lord, who do not know your saving power and presence, Lord, take your word and speak your word to their hearts this day. Take out their heart of stone and give them a heart of repentance and faith in you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, we continue looking at this section of the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters, God declares to us what he has done, is doing, and will do in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem his people and build his household. And the last three chapters of Ephesians, God is describing what that looks like in the life of his people. What does it look like to belong to Jesus? As individuals, as families, as a church family, what does it look like to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And in Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord reminds us that the Christian is somebody who is joined to Jesus Christ. And our life is to follow him. We walk with Jesus. We walk in Jesus. We walk for Jesus. And in verse 17 and following, the Lord says, well, I want to remind you that your walk is different from the walk of the world. The world, the pagans, people who don't belong to God, their walk is one of rebellion against the living God. But the walk of the Christian is a walk that is with the Lord, in the Lord, for the Lord. And it's a walk in which we're growing more and more to be close to Jesus. to experience dying more and more to the remnants of the old sinful self. And he describes that in verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to put on the new self, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so putting off the remnants of the old man, putting on more and more life in the Lord Jesus, who we are savingly joined to, that we belong to. And he gives examples now, beginning in verse 25, and we're looking at this example, this practical illustration of putting off, putting on. In verse 29, he says, put off corrupting talk. And in the place, put on talk that speaks the truth in love and builds those up around us. Instead of diseased speech, we're speaking edifying speech in the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of enticing others to rebel against the living God, we're inviting and stirring up others to join with us to love and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting off, putting on. And now in verse 31, he reminds us about hateful speech. And we've been looking at that now. And this is the third week that we've been looking. The first week we said, okay, what is this hateful speech? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander along with all malice. And we looked at what those terms mean. All this hate. A war against God and a war against our fellow man made in the image of God, and us showing disdain and dishonor and seeking to destroy and tear down. In the place of that, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we put on what? And it's striking in verse 32 how, you remember, we've seen that this speech is the evidence or the expression of what's in our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus has taught us. It is from whatever is in the treasure of your heart that is going to come out in our actions. And so in verse 32, but be kind. God calls us to be kind. And if in our hearts we put on kindness and tenderheartedness, a compassion that is exhibited, and we saw that these terms, kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness, are all things that the Lord Jesus Himself exhibited. You remember we looked at Matthew chapter 11 and we saw that Jesus' yoke is easy. He's got a kind yoke. He is seeking to do good to us and for us. And so we need to remember that when He gives us a duty to do. And we may shrink back from it and think, oh, that's too hard. Nope. That's the kindness of the Lord. It's good. Whatever God says, that's what's good. And we want to be kind. We want to do good as God defines good to those around us. God says that we're to be kind in our heart to one another. Instead of being full of hate and malice and seeking to destroy and dish it out to people, we want to show the kindness of God. Tenderhearted. You remember the Lord Jesus looked at the crowds, and it says that His heart had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, He could have said, well, you bunch of dummies, come out here in the wilderness. What's wrong with you? Y'all should have known to pack some lunch. And you made your bed, now you got to sleep in it. Too bad for you. But no, Jesus' heart was full of compassion. And even though there was one little boy out of that huge crowd who had brought what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus took that and blessed it and fed this multitude of people. And they had 12 baskets left over of the fragments. 12 baskets left over. And everybody ate until they had to push the basket away, the plate away. And they said, "Whoo, I'm stuffed. Can't eat anymore." That was the compassion of the Lord Jesus. His heart went out to them. And that's what God has done for us in Christ. Well, that's where we finished last Lord's Day. And we want to look a little bit more at this matter of the next expression of mercy. But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And notice, here the chapter break is very unfortunate because we're not talking about something different. I love chapter and verse divisions in the Bible. They are so handy, but this is obviously a place I guess they just said, well, we got to break someplace, so let's do it here in the middle of this section. But these are connected, and we see that in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. The forgiveness of God is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And why did Jesus die on the cross? It was to purchase redemption for God's people. Jesus paid the penalty that sin deserves, as Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, because the only way that fallen men and women and boys and girls could ever be reconciled with the holy God, we are fallen in Adam, the first man. Adam was his name. God made him from the dust of the earth. And he represented the human race, as we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and following. The first man brought death, and all sinned in him, because when he sinned, we sinned in him. And the only way that we could ever be made right with God is for the last Adam, God Himself, God the Son, to come and take on human flesh and become one of us. And Jesus laid down His life as the Good Shepherd on the cross. And He purchased redemption for His little lambs. For everyone who trusts in Jesus, we have forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God has taken away our sin. And I love the pictures that God paints for us of what forgiveness does in so many passages in the Old Testament. One of the themes in the book of Ezekiel, and I don't know when was the last time you read the book of Ezekiel. It's a long a book in the Old Testament. But there's a recurring theme. Then they will know that I am the Lord. But there's another theme that accompanies it, and it is over and over the Lord says, now it's not for your sake that I'm acting. It's not for your sake that I'm doing this, but because you bear my name. And you know what that's called? It's called grace. The forgiveness of God is all about the grace of God. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What we earn, what we deserve, is death, because I've broken every one of God's holy commandments in thought, word, and deed. And they're summarized in the Ten Commandments. That's what God requires of us. It is His eternal standard of right and wrong that reflects the very character of Almighty God. And I've broken all of those, and you have too. And so how can you possibly ever be right with God? It is the grace of God that God has given us the gift of salvation. And He has given us a heart to repent, to turn from living in rebellion against God, and to turn to His Son and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second we confess Jesus, the second we say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm trusting in You to wash my sins away. I want to be Yours. I don't want to live against You anymore. I'm Yours, and confess that Jesus is my Lord. The second we do that, Almighty God forgives us. Almighty God says, you are now right with Me. He justifies us. He gives that legal declaration that you are declared right now, that the perfect life of His Son is imputed to us. The perfect sacrifice of His Son is credited as payment for our sin, so that we stand forgiven and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what the forgiveness of God is. That's what it does. And because of Jesus, we are adopted. God, when He forgives us, He not only says you're justified, but He adopts us. The second we believe in Jesus, we are adopted. We're not only justified, but God owns us and legally adopts us as His own little children in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the forgiveness of God does. That's the grace of God. And the second we believe in Jesus, He begins to sanctify us. He begins that process of molding and making us more and more to be renewed in the image of His Son. And that process will culminate when He takes us home to glory. And that's called glorification. And it all is wrapped up in our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what the book of Ezekiel is emphasizing, the grace of God. But there are other passages in the Old Testament that paint a picture for us. Not for your sake, but for the glory of My name am I doing this mighty work of forgiveness. Think about Psalm 103. What does God do with our sins when He forgives us? You can turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 103. In verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. And what is this compassion of the Lord? It is forgiveness. Look at verse 10, He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love, His mercy toward those who fear Him. This term, steadfast love, is a term that means the everlasting mercy of God. And it is in the Lord Jesus. So far as the east is from the west, verse 12, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. And so that's what God does when He forgives us. He not only gives us a gift, He deals with us in grace, but because of the work of Jesus, our sins are removed. That when God looks at us now, He doesn't see our sins. And how far does God remove our sins from us? As far as the east is from the west. Now, how far is that? It's infinity. It's infinity. That's how far God removes our sins from us. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can take away the horrible guilt of our sin. Only Jesus can make us right with the living God. Another passage in the Old Testament that reminds us of what happens when God forgives us in Christ is found over in Isaiah chapter 1. And here the Lord describes us as being tainted, colored with the bright red blot of sin. Look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet." And how red is scarlet? It is blood red. Even though our sins are just blood red in the sight of God, when we are forgiven in the Lord Jesus, when the blood of Jesus is applied to us, what happens to our sins? They are covered. They're washed away. "Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." And so, left to myself, my sin is just glaring in the sight of Almighty God. Left to myself. But when we confess our sins to Jesus and ask for mercy, God washes us clean and gives us a covering that covers our sin, and we are declared right with God. We're made as white as snow. Over in Isaiah chapter 53, and we sang, our first hymn today was based on this passage. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. And here we have this section that actually begins up in chapter 52 that describes the servant of the Lord who suffers and then is exalted. And through his work, he sprinkles many nations. He cleanses us. And how does he do it? By dying in our place, by purchasing a redemption for us that we could never earn by our own works. Look at verse 4. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Body and soul, Jesus comes to restore us. And in this life, the second we believe in Jesus, we have peace with God and forgiveness of our sins, and we have to wait until the final act of God's mighty work of applying the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ that he purchased and finished in full there on the cross when we go to be with the Lord. And then our bodies are going to be made like his own glorious body. But all of that is because God has forgiven us in the Lord Jesus, and he purchased that redemption. Verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity." In bearer. Himself on the cross, and by his stripes, we are made whole. Over in verse 11, out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, as he shall bear their iniquities. That's what forgiveness is all about, making us right with God. That's what Jesus has done for us. I love the picture that God paints for us in the Old Testament over in the book of Micah. And turn there with me in Micah chapter 7. And he asked this question in verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? Micah says, God, who, there's no other God like like you, the true and the living God. There are many idols, yes, in this world, but that there's only one God like the true and living God. And what is it that Micah points to now that is just sort of the crowning, distinguishing mark? It's not the only thing that marks out the God of the Bible from all of the other fake gods. But this is, if you will, the crowning thing. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? Only the true and living God sent His Son. You familiar with John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how God has forgiven us, is joining us to His Son, the sin bearer. And because of that, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over our transgression? It doesn't mean God sweeps our sins under the rug, but they are paid for. And because of that, God no longer holds the wrong I've done against Him against me. If God were to hold me accountable and I would pay for my sin, it would take me eternity in hell to pay for my sin. That's what I deserve. Where the worm eats and does not consume. Where the fire burns and does not consume. That's what Henry Johnson deserves. That's what I've earned. But praise God, that is not what God has gifted to me. He gave me the gift of salvation. He didn't give me what I earned. He's given me a gift. And it is His own Son who lived a perfect life and died upon the cross. That's the forgiveness of God. That's what God has done for every child of God who confesses Jesus Christ. If you are a child of God, you're somebody who loves Jesus. You're somebody who is trusting in Jesus. And if God has so forgiven us, we delight to show His kindness, His compassion, His forgiveness to those who have done us wrong. Those who have done us wrong, we yearn to show the mercy that God has lavished upon us by showing just a little taste of the huge mercy God has given us to those who have done us wrong. And that's what Ephesians 4 is describing. Turn back with me to Ephesians 4 now, and we'll close by just beginning to look at these verses of God describing the forgiveness that He has given to us in Christ. In the place of all this hate and dishing it out to people who we don't like, making war against those around us made in the image of God, In the place of that, God says, in the Lord Jesus Christ, put off malice and hate and clamor and anger and slander and bitterness. And in the place, be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving to one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so we close today, and I want to just ask you a question. Is there somebody that you're at odds with today? And if the answer is yes, then you need to, if you haven't already done it, seek to be reconciled with them. You need to reach out the olive branch of the mercy of Jesus. If you have and they haven't responded, then just pray for them. But if there's somebody that has done you wrong, God says that we ought to be those who are eager to show the mercy of God that God has showered upon us. Now, that's not the way the world works. The way the world works is, you do me wrong, I'm going to do wrong back to you. I'll get even with you. That's how the natural man works and thinks and lives. But not so with God's people. When your husband comes home, I know now your husband would never do this, but let's just pretend your husband comes home and he's kind of in a cranky mood. What should you do? Should you go, okay, he's been cranky to me, I'll just be cranky to him. I can dish it out. He's been cranky, I'll be cranky. I'll show him what cranky really looks like. No, God says in the place of bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and slander, put that away, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ has forgiven you. How did it work with us and God? Did we earn God's favor? No. It was a gift. And so we ought to be people who are eager to show the mercy of Jesus one to another. Your brother or sister maybe has colored on the page in your coloring book that you were saving. It was your favorite page, and they've colored on it. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to take a crayon and go in and color on their favorite coloring book? I'll get even with you. No, God calls us to be kind and tenderhearted and to seek to be reconciled and to go to them and say, look, that really was sad what you did. That was my favorite coloring page. And I'm asking you to repent. I want to forgive you. I want things to be right between us. You see, that's not the way the world operates. But that's what God calls us to do. Well, we'll stop there today. We have more that we want to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that God has given to us. And we're going to look at some examples in the Bible, Lord willing, next week. But I want you to be thinking. And today we've just focused on the amazing work that God has done to forgive us in Christ Jesus. And we ought to be those who show His kindness to the people around us. We love Him and we love one another, because God has first loved us. That's what 1 John chapter 4 says. We'll look at that next Lord's Day, Lord willing. That's the way God says we ought to be living. Putting off more and more the remnants of the old man and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but just thinking about these things in the way we treat one another in our homes, in the workplace, in our church family, we all need to grow more in the love of Jesus, don't we? We need Jesus to come and capture our hearts anew so that we would be those who more and more reflect the love of Jesus. Show the kindness of Jesus. Show the tenderheartedness of Jesus to those around us so that He would be praised. So that the gospel of Jesus would be more clearly lived in our own lives, so that we would just be rejoicing more in the Lord Jesus, and so that people would see Jesus in us more. May God grant that. Oh, what an exciting thing it is to belong to Jesus, to be His little children, to be growing in the Lord Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gospel. We thank You for the forgiveness of our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're overwhelmed, Lord, with how kind and tenderhearted and forgiving You have been to us. Lord, we ask that as You have been so kind to us, so compassionate to us, so full of forgiveness to us, You would give us such a heart in dealing with one another, so that You would be praised. Lord, write these things upon our hearts. Change us, Lord. Transform us more and more into the image of Your Son as Your little children who have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. As Your little children, Lord, we have enjoyed and bask in the smile of Your face now through the Lord Jesus. Lord, please grant to us that we would not forget that, and we would show Your mercy and Your kindness, Your compassion, Your forgiveness to those around us. That's our heart's desire, Lord, so that You would be loved and praised. Bless now as we sing, as we conclude our worship today. In Jesus we pray.